Welcome to the One Right Church podcast, where we will discuss what it's like to believe that you attend the only right church. My name is Mark Shaw, and I spent the first 45 years of my life in the Followers of Christ Church in Oregon City, believing I was in the One Right Church. Our hope is that by simply sharing our story, that we would urge people to look to the Bible for answers instead of their religious traditions. We want to encourage people to trust in Jesus for their salvation and not in attending the One Right Church. Let's get started. Well, welcome back, Scott.
Well, thank you, Mark.
And welcome back, listeners. We talked about the purpose of the church last time, and so just thought there was a lot more to say about the church, and so we'll spend some time here over the next,
maybe a little mini-series on the church. Which, just so you know, the topic is the One Right Church, it makes sense for us to actually explore what does it mean to be a church, and what is the church for, and how do you become part of it, and all of those things. So that's what we're doing this week and probably next couple weeks too. So
yeah, so it's probably no better place to start than the beginning of the church. Probably
you're so original. If you're going to talk about something, you generally go back to the beginning. Is a great idea. We typically understand the church to have begun in the book of Acts, chapter 2. It's called Pentecost. It was a Jewish festival. People came from around the world to Jerusalem to this festival. And when they came, the Holy Spirit came on the followers of Jesus, this little group of 120 or so people, probably.
The risen Jesus had told them to go there and wait. And
so they're there, and the Holy Spirit comes, and they begin speaking in languages that they don't even understand, but that were heard by the people who had traveled in.
Yeah.
And they thought that these folks were drunk, and that's pretty, you know, a lowbrow beginning of the church, really. The church starts with the misunderstanding that everyone's drunk.
Yeah. Well, the people that didn't understand what they were saying, but then there were the other people who were hearing them speak in their own, in the listener's native language.
Right. And they couldn't make heads or tails of how in the world did this happen?
Yeah.
Right. So anyway, that's when Peter stands up and explains to people.
Yeah.
And this is, he does a little bit before this, but this is the heart of his message. He says in Acts chapter 2, verse 22, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with many mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, this Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it." And so the very first thing that happens in the church is the proclamation of a crucified and risen Jesus. So I think we could probably safely say that is a central feature from the beginning of the church, is the proclamation of the crucifixion of Jesus and his resurrection, and really what that means for us.
Yeah.
And then he continues then in verse 33, "Being therefore exalted at God's right hand and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured this out that you yourselves are seeing and hearing." And so he says in verse 36, "Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus, whom you crucified."
Yeah.
And so if there is a central feature, it, number one, it's Jesus. Number two, specifically about Jesus, it's that he was crucified and was raised by the power of God and now is ascended to the right hand of God. And so if we're going back to the beginning to say, what do we learn about the church? I think the first thing we learn is that Jesus and the proclamation of his crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension are the centerpiece of the church.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love that, just how direct Peter is to the crowd, whom you crucified.
Nothing if not direct.
Yeah, yeah. Twice, whom you crucified. And then, but I love that important part of the gospel is that their response to it in the next verse is, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brother, what shall we do?" And it, they respond with repentance. Like they understand, seems like, that they, well, maybe they don't respond with repentance yet at that point, but they're cut to the heart and they're like, well, now what? If that, if what you just said is true and we're responsible for crucifying him, now what? And the message isn't, well, it's too late for you. You did this thing. You crucified him and you're out. It's, and Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit," which the Holy Spirit's what we were just talking about that came. And I just love that even with this direct charge that Peter gives, it's good news that it comes with it, that you've done really probably the most unjust thing in human history, and what you need to do now that you've done that is repent. And I just love that part of the gospel, that there's nobody that's anywhere where the gospel can't reach them.
Yes, and there's hope.
Yeah.
As soon as you repent, there's hope.
Yep.
There will be forgiveness of sins. You'll receive the Holy Spirit. The promise will be for you and your children.
Yeah.
And so that's the first thing, really, yeah, is they respond to this message. The, you know, if you were to think of it as a plant, the roots are the message of the resurrection crucifixion.
Yeah.
And then those roots go down, and pretty soon there's this little shoot that comes up, and they say, okay, what do we do? And the essentially the stalk and the leaves and the branches are all repent, mm-hmm, and be baptized. And so there is this action that accompanies their repentance.
Yeah.
And so, again, if you're going to talk in terms of what is the church or what is really what makes a right church,
yeah,
you'd start with the message,
yeah,
that there is proclamation and clear proclamation of crucifixion, resurrection, ascension of Jesus. And then there is a repentant response, yeah, on the part of those who hear this, so that then they live in, yeah, accordance with that repentance.
Yeah.
And that's what you see in the next part of it. So this is all from,
yeah,
Acts chapter 2. They repent and are baptized, and then this is what they do. So there's sort of ongoing, you know, keep at it sort of steps that, mm-hmm, are here. And it says in verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came on every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved.
Yeah.
And so the simplest statement of what they did, okay, here's what a life of repentance looks like. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching.
Yeah.
Now, the apostles are right in front of them there.
Yeah.
Okay, these, yeah, are Peter and James and John and the rest of the crew that the Bible designates as apostles.
Yeah.
And their teaching is what they heard, yeah, directly from Jesus.
With the core of that teaching being what you just read. What
Jesus
Peter just
was crucified,
told them.
Yep. Risen, and ascended. Yes, yep, very definitely. That's, yeah, a teaching that they were devoted to.
Yeah. And I, the reason I bring that up is I just think in my experience, being in a place that claimed to be the one right church, it was always the secondary issues that set us apart. It was these other things. It wasn't this message. It wasn't that we believed this and everybody else didn't. It was everybody believes this, but we have these secondary things that make us the one right church. But in my experience in my life, I didn't believe this. I didn't believe, by the time it got to my generation, I only believed the secondary issues. They were my identity, you might say. And this is the teaching that I want people to devote themselves
to. Yes, it's devotion to the primary teaching, the primary message of Christianity is that Jesus died on a cross and satisfied God's wrath against sin, that guilty sinners might be forgiven, and to demonstrate the truth of that, he rose again. And now to apply the truth of that, he sits at God's right hand and sends the Holy Spirit to those who believe. So, yes, that's what they did. First thing they said, we're committed to the message.
Right.
Really, that's what it was. And then it says, and the fellowship.
Yeah.
And so they shared in common that message, and they shared in common then their love for Jesus and for one another.
Mm-hmm.
And then to the breaking of bread, and that goes on down there to talk about them breaking bread in their homes and receiving their food with glad and generous hearts.
Yeah.
And so it looks like they had meals together. Some would say this is a nod to the Lord's Supper as well, but I think it has primary reference to the fact that they shared the message in common fellowship, and then they ate together.
Yeah.
And then it says, and the prayers. And so the other thing that they did was they prayed together. And there, if you read through the book of Acts, it's remarkable how what a priority it was that they prayed together. They'd already had a prayer meeting. In fact, that's where this whole event was born, where they were in an upper room and they were praying. And so those things, I would say, really give you a good indication that you are responding to the message. If you're devoted to the message, if you're sharing the message in common and the life together in common, that you break bread and eat together and that you pray.
Yeah.
Those are the kind of the central follow-ons to repenting and being baptized.
Yeah. And in that, easy for me to say. And in 46, it says, and day by day, attending the temple together. I would not have had any idea what that meant when I first. Is that just simply going to church to worship together? Is that?
Well, they actually went to the temple there in person.
Okay.
And so I would look at this and think there was a big group attending the temple and there were small groups at home.
Okay.
So they had this these two kinds of meetings, I think, sort of a public meeting and a private meeting.
Okay. But to do the equivalent of that today, it would be to go together to church on Sunday morning and then meet together in smaller groups in your home would be something that would mirror this.
That would be a good mirror of this, I think. That's a good way to say it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's...
And, you know, the thing that happens after that is really there is a sort of an atmosphere, you may say, of worship. Awe came on every soul. Wonders and signs were done by the apostles. They all believed. And then it said that they were praising God. This is the end, verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And so there's this sort of... atmosphere is the best word I can think of, but this environment of praising God and enjoying really the fact that Jesus is alive from the dead and offers hope to his people. And other people, outsiders, looked at them and with favor and thought, these guys, I don't necessarily think I can get my head around somebody dying and rising again, but they have something here.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of how they responded, I think, to this,
the
behavior of the people who believed.
Yeah, that's good. And it makes me think, I'm trying to think about the differences between when I went to Followers and then going to church now. And I didn't feel like I had all things in common. And when we did get together as a church, we sung hymns. And after coming to faith in Jesus, I do believe I was worshiping God singing those hymns. But before, I just felt like I was just checking the boxes, like we're just doing what we do. And but having favor with all the people, I just remember such a difference when I started going to a different church and when I started coming here, and we would sing together, we would hear the word preached. I would a lot of times be in tears at the end of a service, and people just smiling, and like people who were strangers to me, I felt as close to them because of this belief that we had in common as I did with people who I'd known my whole life, that I didn't have that in common with. So it talks about them having all things in common. I don't know exactly what that means, but I know that if you have this belief in common, that's the most important
thing. It does change everything.
It does. So
the last item there is also interesting. The last sort of description before it closes and moves on to a different topic, it says that the Lord added to their number day by day those who are being saved. And so they were, there was something that happened. And again, I think this is important because when you're talking about One Right Church, you're typically talking about your group.
Right.
And what he's saying here is that this group that you would now belong to if you hold this message, then that group gets added to. And it's not just for us.
Yeah,
and I think that's kind of what we tried to get at last week when we talked about the purpose of the church, is that the purpose of the church isn't for those people on the inside, it's for the people on the outside. The church exists to incorporate more people into the kingdom of God, and that's what is happening here in Acts chapter 2, is that they're doing, I mean, I suppose you could even go so far as to say they're doing church things.
Yeah.
But they're not doing church things with a view to circling the wagons and keeping the people who are there already and keeping them there.
Yeah.
It is doing the church things with a view to having glad and generous hearts, praising God, having favor with the people, and seeing the Lord add to their number day by day.
Yeah.
So they have a view to the mission that Jesus was on. We talked about this last week. Other sheep I have that are not of this fold, and that Jesus is on a mission, and they have really the opportunity to join him in that mission.
Yeah, yeah, that's great. And I remember people, we've talked about it on here before, but I remember people showing up to Followers who didn't go to Followers, people from the outside, and they would come and, for the most part, they'd just be completely ignored. Like, nobody would talk to them. They'd stare, get weird looks. It was terrible. But I've had people ask me, could I just go out to Followers? And I describe what it would be like for them if you did. But they're like, I don't get it. I just want to go worship God too. And my faith is in Jesus. And again, it's just more evidence to me that it wasn't the gospel that unified the followers. It was all those secondary things that I talked about. And
that an outsider would not have anything in common with.
You don't have that in common with us, so you're not welcome here. But if it's the gospel that unites you, then of course people would be welcome to come in. If you don't already believe it, let us tell you about it.
And Jesus, has already provided everything that's necessary that you could fit in there.
So it's just so important that that the gospel identifies, or that we're identified by the gospel, and our church is identified by a group of people who have the gospel in common.
And when that happens, certain things will grow out of it.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, what this description of the church is, that they end up, yes, loving one another, sharing fellowship, praying, being devoted to the message, seeing the Lord do amazing things in their midst and worshiping him. And God adds people to that because it's attractive. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I would just want to encourage people to think about that. What, if you believe you're in a one right church, what makes you the one right church? If it's the gospel,
namely the message of the crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus.
What we just read there. Yeah. If it's that and that alone, then you're not the one right church. I mean, there are other
you
people
are right.
who believe that. You are right, but yeah, we want so badly when you believe this truth. You just want to tell people about this great news for them. This can change your life. And we would sing a song called I Love to Tell the Story. And it says, I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story because I know it's true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. And I can speak from experience, and I know there are people who are still app followers right now whose longings are not satisfied. And it's because they're trying to do it apart from the death and resurrection of Jesus or something in addition to. I love to tell the story, more wonderful it seems than all the golden fancies of all our golden dreams. I love to tell the story. It did so much for me, and that is just the reason I tell it now to thee. I love to tell the story. 'Tis pleasant to repeat what seems each time I tell it more wonderfully sweet. I love to tell the story, for some have never heard the message of salvation from God's own holy word. And then maybe my favorite verse is, I love to tell the story, for those who know it best seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory I sing the new song, 'twill be the old, old story that I have loved so long. And yeah, I just love that you'll never get tired of hearing this story.
That's why they devote themselves to the apostles' teaching, they devote themselves to the message, because they don't want to do anything else.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks. Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully this has been helpful. If you have questions or comments or a topic that you would like us to cover, you can reach us at comments@onerightchurch.com. And for more information, you can visit our website, www.onerightchurch.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.